FYI Galway. For your information.
Good evening and welcome to FYI Galway with Bernadette Prendergast and John Mulligan. Over the next hour, we keep you informed of the latest news, sport, business and traffic. If you want to comment on any items on the programme, you can email news@galwaybayfm.ie, telephone us at 091 770 0077 or text us at 53995. You can also get in touch with us via the Galway Bay FM News Facebook page or Twitter at Galway Bay FM News. First, the news headlines this evening. Galway Gardaí on alert, but Deputy Nolan unconcerned about protests.
People are free to protest. I think that some of the issues that are being protested are very genuine and people have genuine grievances. But I would say, and I'll be very frank, that there are people who have always been naysayers, who have always been against the Labour Party and against any party in government who will be there.
Locals in shock at closure of Uchtherard Tourist Office.
This village will go down the drain without the tourist office.
The town and the country needs as much help as possible, and it'll have a big impact on this village and businesses, and I'm very sorry to see the services go.
Nationally, retailers concerned as Minister Howland plans to sell lottery licence.
We're very confident, having done the due diligence of the last 6 months, maintain the income stream for good causes and ensure that everybody gets a decent deal out of it, including those that are, will be required to sell the lotto.
And in Italy, investigation into possible misuse of EU funds.
And coming up in sport, three Galway horses vie for Grand National glory tomorrow. We look forward to tonight's Greyhound racing at Galway. Tough encounter ahead for Galway hurlers on Sunday.
We went into a puck of a ball to get into a league semi-final and now we have to face relegation. It's a tough station, but they're the cards we're dealt with.
And more success for Galway boxers at national championships.
Thanks, John. And coming up shortly on FYI Galway, today's top local stories. But first, we take a look at the traffic.
Galway Bay FM traffic news in association with Bus Éireann. Their new improved Galway City services are now in operation. For more information, see buséireann.ie.
Good evening, Johnny. It's been a tough week, really, traffic-wise. Any let-up for this Friday?
Well, not much of a let-up, I'm afraid, this evening for the Friday. And I'm going to start off with the good news first. Bohemore outbound is not bumper-to-bumper at present. Good news there, inbound is fine. Going into town, no problem for College Road inbound. And outbound College Road is good. Outbound Lochatalia Road is excellent. Inbound is just starting to slow down. Be careful of that if you're coming in off the Dublin Road. Sean Mulvoy Road, I'm sorry to say, is bumper to bumper, two lanes, all the way up the hill to the Bohemore Junction. Congestion there leading down to the Monaghisha Junction. The traffic slow from there all the way out to Dublin Road, out past Duggins and then more, and out towards the GMIT roundabout. A slow two from the Bohemore roundabout leading out towards the Hume Road Junction. So it's going to be, I think, another difficult evening out here. If you've got any updates that you can help us with, our text number is 53995 for 20 cents. I'll be back again with another update.
Thanks very much, Johnny. It's 5:03 and coming up, all your news, sport and business.
FYI Galway, for your information.
The tourist office in Uchtherard has been closed and two full-time staff have been served redundancy notices. A notice on the door today reads that the office will remain closed until April 18th. Thomas Welby, acting chairperson of the tourist office committee, says tourist bookings and information services are unviable and had to be discontinued. Sarah O'Sullivan was in Uchtherard today and sent us this report.
Staff at the tourist office were called into a meeting yesterday and informed that the tourist office would no longer offer a booking and information service. Two of the four full-time posts at the tourist office are to be discontinued under what the company calls restructuring. In a statement, the committee of the Uchtherard Tourism and Development Association says yesterday's announcement was as a result of the continuing deterioration in the overall financial reserves of the company and the heavy staff cost. It says that it will hold a general meeting next week to set out what was involved in yesterday's decision and to allow the Uchtherard community to discuss ways that services could be continued in the future on a volunteer basis. Christine Mulkerns is one of the two people being let go and feels it is a big loss to the town.
It's a community service programme, this. We are funded by Pubble. I am funded as a manager under the community service programme of Pubble. And therefore, this community service programme is still functioning. But the way that we have been let go is just by a division being put into the company. Financially, as everybody in this economic climate, We are all struggling. We're not to say we're not struggling. You know, there are financial difficulties, but the loss to the town.
The closure of the tourist office has caused outrage in Up the Ard. There is still a sense of shock in the village.
I am shocked. I mean, I just thought it was a joke, to be honest with you, when I heard it first.
Well, we were shocked yesterday evening when we heard that the tourist office was closed, especially at such short notice. And of course, we don't know the reason why it has been closed down.
It's rather strange it was actually closed at the beginning of the season, considering how bad our tourist seasons have been the last couple of years. We need everything we can get. We need our tourist office to direct people here.
I think it's terrible. It's ridiculous. The village is closing down. I mean, it's in a bad shape anyway. I mean, without that, it's just going to make it worse.
I think it's a huge asset to the town to have the tourist office, you know, because it's the last place really between here and Clifton. And I think it's going to be a sad loss.
I wonder why is it closing down? They mustn't be doing good. Sure, they mustn't be.
Very surprised to hear the news. The town and the country needs as much help as possible. And it'll have a big impact on this village and businesses. And very sorry to see the services go.
This village will go down the drain without the tourist office.
FYI Galway, for your information.
Returning now to our earlier story about the Labour Party conference in Galway, and up to 1,000 Labour delegates are gathering in the city around now for the centenary conference. It opens at the Bailey Allen Hall at NUI Galway at 6:30. Our reporter Una Malloy spoke with Galway West deputy and city native Derek Nolan, who has the honour of opening the conference.
My job today is to open the conference, and I'll be very much welcoming people to Galway and telling them how great it is to have so many people coming here and staying in the city, trying to get them to use the local businesses a bit. But I'll also be talking a little bit about the history of the party. It is 100 years since the party was founded. You know, it's a quite a significant year, and it's quite a privilege for me to open the conference in its 100th year anniversary. And I'll also talk about NUI Galway and the place it's had in the Labour Party. You know, both Michael E. Higgins, Eamon Gilmore, and indeed Pat Rabbit were presidents of NUI Galway Students' Union, so it's got a strong role in the Labour Party.
It's the first time Labour has had a national conference with party and government in 15 years, and indeed the first time the party will hear from grassroots members. Is there some concern about the stability of the coalition with Fine Gael at this time?
There's not concern. I think that everybody realises that the coalition is necessary. It's almost being seen by us as a national government that simply required, really, because the situation was so bad this time a year ago, with political instability and economic instability, that really, you know, differences needed to be put aside to try and put some kind of a shape on recovery of the economy. I'm sure there'll be differences of opinion. There always are at Labour Party conferences. We're renowned for having a very vocal membership.
The party has done a U-turn on many of its policies, such as on education, the banking and the health sector, that essentially put you into government. What do you say to that? There's much anger with the Labour Party right now.
I don't feel that anger with the Labour Party, to be honest, and I'm very much out on the streets every weekend. I meet people coming to my clinics and so on. There's a certain amount of anger in general at the state in which the country is in. The country elected a new government last year. They didn't manage to elect a new economy, unfortunately. That wasn't possible. But I'm very much aware of the difficulties that people are facing. I think that people can't underestimate the level of difficulty that was there when we went into government a year ago. The country's reputation abroad was shattered. The confidence in the economy was zero, and we were considered to be politically unstable. And all of those things have changed in the last year, and a huge amount of work has gone in to get us to this place now, where people are no longer questioning the viability of the state, which was really where it was a year ago. I'm not taking away from the challenges that are facing the country. I made no promises on the doorsteps, except that I would do the very best for the people of Galway in government and in the Dáil Éireann, and that's what I'm doing. And I think we are doing that.
Now, Deputy Nolan, you say you haven't seen that anger yet, but in fact there's a considerable security presence that's going to be in place at the Bailey Allen Hall all this weekend, and that's because a large number of protests have been planned, and these protests will focus on education, the health sector, etc., and they're going to make themselves known to you tomorrow.
I understand there will be protests, and there are always protests at conferences of party and government. I was involved in them myself in the past, and I think they're perfectly entitled to be there, and I'd be delighted to welcome them as long as they stay peaceful. What I would say is that people are free to protest. I think that some of the issues that are being protested are very genuine and people have genuine grievances. But I would say, and I'll be very frank, that there are people who have always been naysayers, who have always been against the Labour Party and against any party in government who will be there. And there is a certain amount of exploitation of people's fears and genuine anxieties and trying to jump on a bandwagon to exploit people in this time of what is an economic crisis. And I don't think that it serves them well to be creating fear and creating anxieties where those oughtn't exist.
Will the Labour Party delegates be speaking with protesters that show up on site?
There won't be a facility for that. The security arrangements, that would be ideal, but it's just something that we can't take the risk for the protesters or for the conference. There will have to be an area for protesting where people can protest. I'm sure if individual members want to discuss with items with the protesters, they'd be perfectly willing to do so.
Back to the conference then, Derek. Over 150 motions are going to be debated over the course of the 3 days. The economy, I presume, will dominate proceedings.
It will. The entire focus of everything that the Labour Party is doing in government and the entire the reason why the Labour Party exists is all about jobs. We stand up for workers. We believe that jobs is a way to empower people and give them the way to control their own lives. So that most of the serious and hard work of the conference will be spent on the economy and jobs.
You yourself are competing for the chair of the Labour Party alongside Galway East TD Colm Keaveney and former Waterford TD Brian O'Shea. Now, that decision will be made by delegates following the polling tomorrow. Now, how stiff is the competition and are there any clear winners in the field, Derek?
I couldn't call it for you, to be honest. It's been an interesting campaign. It's a difficult campaign because you're dealing with a select group of the party who will be going as delegates. So that's maybe 1/10 of the membership who are all over the country. So getting to people and talking to them is quite difficult. I imagine a lot of it will be decided at a conference this weekend through meeting people and canvassing them in the conference centre. I really couldn't call it.
It's 5:23 and still to come, all the sport in full. But first to national and international news. The Minister for Public Expenditure says he's happy to hold talks with local retailers before legislation is determined on the new licence for the National Lottery. Brendan Howland's remarks come as a group which represents retailers says it's concerned about the government's plans to sell the National Lottery licence. The government hopes to make around €600 million from the sale of the rights to operate the National Lottery for the next 20 years. Several private operators are said to be interested. RG Data says it's concerned about the possible impact of such a sale on retailers who sell the lottery tickets. Minister Howland says he's confident of getting a decent deal that will benefit everybody.
We're very confident, having done the due diligence of the last 6 months with external partners looking at what's happened elsewhere, new technology and so on, that we can grow the lotto, have a decent upfront payment, maintain the income stream for good causes and ensure that everybody gets a decent deal out of it, including those that will be required to sell the lotto. And that includes, obviously, having a good prize fund as well.
To world news, and Syrian opposition activists say 5 people have been shot dead by security forces during demonstrations following Friday prayers. It's the second day of a ceasefire brokered by the UN and Arab League. The UN Security Council is meeting today to discuss sending observers to Syria. A team is already on standby. Yihad Maksadisi is from the Syrian Foreign Ministry.
It's up to the UN to assess how many people they need. From our side, what I can say that we want them to be here as soon as possible. And this is in Syria's vital interest.
Now moving to Gaelic Games, and the Galway hurling team to play Dublin in Sunday's Division 1 relegation tie was named last night. There are 5 changes. Fergal Flannery makes his debut in goal in place of Jamie Ryan. Kevin Hines starts at cornerback. David Burke comes into midfield and Conor Cooney goes into the half forward line with David Lennon coming into the full forward line. Following training last night, Galway manager Anthony Cunningham spoke to Niall Canavan and he told Niall that this is a big test for both sides.
We're really looking forward to getting back on the road again after the Kilkenny match. And I suppose on reflection of the league, we went into a puck of a ball of getting to a league semi-final and now we have to face relegation. It's a tough station, but the cards were dealt with, and we're looking for this as a big match that'll set us up for our championship campaign.
It's a funny situation in the sense that you had 4 points in the league. Dublin only had 1 yet. You could possibly be relegated to Division 1B.
That's true, and 4 points, same as Waterford, and a better scoring difference than Waterford, and yet they're not in any relegation trouble. But that was the nature of the league. I mean, you know, we could have got a result or a draw against Waterford, could have beaten Tipperary, but then a number of other teams could have swung anyway, so there wasn't much between any of the teams. We'd have been disappointed with the Kilkenny match, that's for sure, and, you know, gifted them some early scores. But since then, like you mean, this match can't come fast enough for us to get out there and put that right.
And how are things been since the Kilkenny game? Has it been hard to regroup to get the players focused again in the league game against Dublin?
No, I mean, we trained twice last week. We gave them the Easter weekend off because we were on the road since the 1st of January, and we thought guys were tired, and you know, just to try and refresh things, and train Tuesday night and again on Thursday night. So we're fully set. Have some few injuries, but you know, that's the normal run of the mill, really, of what you'd expect.
Now moving to soccer, and there's action in the Airtricity League First Division, the Battle of the Tribes, they've called it. SD Galway and Murphy United at Terryland Park. And also a few big games for Galway sides in provincial competition. In the under-16 Connor Cup, Willow Park take on Murphy United, and Castlebar Celtic meets Saltill Devon. In the under-14 Connor Cup, Westport United take on Hibs Foyle. And in the under-12 Connor Cup, Westport United take on Saltill Devon, Murphy United take on Castlebar Celtic. And old adversaries are heading for Wembley this weekend for the semi-finals of the FA Cup. It's Liverpool and Everton, and there's a London derby between Chelsea and Tottenham. Richard Newman looks forward to the games.
It's an early start for supporters travelling down from Merseyside. They have to cover over 200 miles for a 12:30 start in North London. All of the semis are now played at Wembley. Liverpool boss Kenny Dalglish can just about understand why the match will go ahead at the National Stadium.
I remember years gone by, Spurs played Arsenal, and they'd know where to play it, so they played it at Wembley. And the other people complained that they were getting a feel for Wembley before they did, so they put all the semi-finals there. So we can't have it always, can we? It'd be ideal if we could have played the game up here.
Let's move to boxing. What a weekend for Galway boxers at the National Boy 1, 2 and 3 Championships. I can tell you Marcus Brolin of Olympic has just beaten Leroy Hughney 10-4 in the 75 kilogram semi-final in the last 20-25 minutes. That's on top of Cathal Griffin of Connemara and Kieran Malloy of Uachtarard, who both won their semi-finals this afternoon. Martin Delaney from Olympic, he won his semi-final this morning, and Gabriel Dawson from Furbo, he won his Boy 2 semi-final also this morning after beating Ryan McDonough on a countback. There are four Galway boxers in action tonight in finals. Cillian Tierney from Uachtarard, Matthew Tierney also from Uachtarard, Patrick Owen Mahan from St. Michael's, and Paddy Donoghue from Ballinasloe. Those finals get underway at 7 o'clock. Finally, just before I go, Bernadette, I just to tell you about our tip today. We went for Cotton Mill in the 4:15 at Aintree. He finished third at 6-1, so it's 2-1 win if you went each way in him.
All right, okay. And of course, tomorrow is the day everybody has a bet.
I know we do say, like, there's great events like Cheltenham is special, and it is, it's very special, but Aintree is just that has grabbed the attention of not just Britain or Ireland, but the whole world, and history could be made tomorrow.
FYI Galway, for your information. Business news on Galway Bay FM with the Irish Times, now with dedicated daily business supplements.
First to the markets, the Isaac Index of Irish Shares in Dublin closed down this evening 18.73, finishing at 3,177.10. The FTSE finished down 1.03% to 5,651.79. The Dow Jones was down 0.54% to 12,916.53. And the Nasdaq was down 0.99% to 3,025.31. The euro is worth 82 pence sterling and 1.30 US dollars. To other business news, internet giant Google has reported a large jump in profits and sales as it announced an effective doubling of its shares. The company said net income in the first quarter was $2.8 billion, up 60% from the same period last year. JP Morgan, the first US bank to announce its results, has reported a rebound in revenues in the first 3 months of 2012. Revenues jumped 24% versus a year ago to $27.4 billion. Although the Wall Street firm said profits fell slightly. The result was driven by its investment bank as well as its mortgage lending business, which saw a 33% rise in applications. And finally, Spain's inflation rate fell below 2% for the first time since August 2010, last month, reflecting the economy's slide towards recession and anemic domestic demand. And that's the business news. And we look now at the weather for Galway, brought to you by Eurobead, looking ahead to the weekend. This evening will be mainly dry and bright with just some well-scattered showers, feeling quite cool in a light northeasterly wind. Dry but cold overnight as temperatures fall to between minus 1 and plus 3 degrees, allowing a frost to set in, light breezes. Tomorrow will be a mainly dry, bright, cool day with just scattered heavy showers, temperatures of 9 or 10 degrees in a light to moderate breeze. Winds on Galway Bay, northeast, force 2 or 3.
FYI Galway. For your information.